welcome to our live talk. Now tonight we're going to talk about foal handling and also weaning. What got me thinking about talking about this was just for the the last week or two, we've had our horses in and we've been weaning our young foals and also handling them. So I thought while I was sort of thinking about it and I was doing it, I thought I'll do our live talk on it, because what we've also been doing is we've been filming the progress of one of the foals and how we go about handling it for its first handling. So and getting it to sort of understand leading and just being comfortable being handled and feet picked up and things like that. So we've been filming and we're going to put that on. We're going to put it on the videos when we've put them all together, so people can sort of see that. And also you may have seen the last video that we've just put out, which was Banjo. So Banjo's also got two riding lessons on live on the videos now, and we're also going to keep videoing. So when I'm in between clinics here and there, I'm going to bring Banjo in. I'm going to sort of slowly progress with him. I'm going to film it and just give people sort of an idea how to handle the young, to ride young horses and how to progress them. And it's also going to be more structured on rein foundation and rein accuracy and things like that, because I know a lot of people have been asking me about that sort of stuff. And, where do you start and when are you going to put legs on horses and things like that? So hopefully with Banjo, I'll be able to sort of go through and show you guys all about that. But for tonight, we're just going to talk now that it looks like a few people have come up live and everyone can hear me, I'll get started on the subject of tonight, which was the foal handling and weaning. So I'm going to start off tonight just with a couple of questions. Get those questions out of the way. I'll talk for a while on the subject, because the questions will, draw into the subject. So I'll start with the questions, and along the way, people that are on and live, you can put in a couple of questions along the way so that I can answer them. Now, once we get through it a bit, there's a bit of time, there's other things that are sort of related to it. If you wanted to ask, that's fine. But anyway, first, Joe Gardner, and Joe, I know Joe now because I met her at the four-day clinic in Howlong, so I know her. She breeds some horses, and so she'd be having, weaning foals every year, I suppose. Now, Joe said, how long until you start handling weanlings after taking them off mum? We always wean in a group of five or six, but I like to let them settle for a few days, just hand feed and hay. How much handling should we do, and in what sequence? Rope around the neck first, softly follow feel. Oh yeah, follow the feel of a rope, as in your video. Yeah, so, okay. So first of all, the first part of the question, I handle them before I wean them. So, and that's what you'll see when I put the videos out there, but I'll explain it a little bit. If you've got a wild mum that's never been handled and you've got to wean a foal and handle a foal, it's very hard, because the mare's gonna be more wild than the foal. So it is handy if you can sort of lead your mares around and handle them. So assuming the fact that the mare's handled, which is better off having you don't have to have a broodmare broken in, but you can have them well handled. So, if anything happens with the mum or the foal or anything, then you can sort of catch them and deal with things. So I get the mare in, and I've got her in I'll get them in for a few days and feed the foals and mares together, because in our situation, I'll just talk about our situation here. Our situation here, they run out in a big paddock with their foals all year round, and they only see us when we drive past, except like at the moment in a drought where we've been out throwing a bit more hay out to the horses, so they're coming up to the ute and that sort of thing. But when they come into the yards, it takes them a couple of days for the foals. The mares know what hay is, but if it's been a good season and they haven't had hay, mares come in and they eat a bit of hay, and then the foals eat hay and they get used to coming in, and they slowly quieten a little bit around you, because you're sort of feeding them in the yards each day, and they're coming up to feed and they start to get a bit curious, then I'll put the mare and the foal in a yard. Now the yard I'm using at the moment is just a little round yard. I've just got about, it's about a 7 to 8 metre diameter, just a fairly small one. The reason I sort of have it in the small one now, a small yard for a wild horse can be quite restrictive, but the foal's not going to go wild generally if the mum's with it. So the mum will be sort of in there. You catch her. Now, what I tend to do is I'll have a long stick, like just a long lunging, maybe on the black ones that are quite long. And generally with that stick, I can sort of really reach out and get to the end of the yard. So I could just reach out and touch a foal if I wanted to. So what I do first is I actually handle the foals for however many days I think they need with their mother. And what I do is I just walk the mum around for a while, get her soft and understanding, and I teach the mum just to sort of step off behind me like that. And that's the reason I do that is once the foal's comfortable with me just moving around mum and in the yard, leading mum around and stuff like that, the foal watches me and, you know, just gets comfortable with me being around. And then something I try and do is I just get the mother to slip off around behind me. And then it'll be just the mum, me, and then the foal. And the foal will look at me and go, oh, I'm looking at you. And I'm not hiding behind mum. And then if it sort of walks around just to hide behind mum, I just might slip her around a little bit and almost sort of tell the foal that mum's saying, oh, don't come and drink milk or hide behind me. Because you know how mares sometimes say not now or things like that. I'll just walk the mare around and the foal will just sort of go, oh, mum doesn't want me there. And then all of a sudden, the foal will be sort of there, possibly looking at me, possibly looking away. And that's what I do. I just get the mare to move away and things like that. And that gives the foal a chance just to sort of be separated from mum and looking at me. So, and then another thing I'll do is with the long stick. Now, I can rub the mare over with the long stick. That's important because I might just have that long stick rubbing the mare. And when that foal's just mingling around mum and following mum, I'll just reach over and just touch the foal on the back and, you know, it'll get a bit of a fright. But because it's sort of not me there touching the foal on its own, it's just a stick touches, it'll jump a bit and it might go, oh, what was that? I don't know what that was. But you only touched it for a second and then, you know, very quickly so the foal doesn't panic. And then after a while, you can sort of rub mum. And while you're rubbing mum, you reach over back and there's the foal on the other side, probably rub it a bit and you sort of walk around and you just do that. And then after a while, you might move mum around here and the foal's over there and you just touch it with the stick. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, the foal will be standing on its own a bit. Mum will be over here and you can just gently rub it with a stick or reach out and touch it. And that might be the first touch you might put on that foal. And then you work your way along. So without getting off the question, I'll get back to this subject. But yeah, so I'd be sort of getting the foals to a stage that they're leading around. Calm with me before I think about taking mum off them, and then I know once I've sort of started to wean, when I get that foal in the yard on its own, it doesn't look at me and go, oh, what are you doing on your own in this yard? I'm, you know, with me, it doesn't, you know, want to just run away or jump out because it's got used to me in the yard with it. Well, its mum's been there, and then as you slowly wean it. And when you get in on its own, it's not stressing to mum anymore because you've sort of weaned it and it's then you've already got it handled. So you just go on about what you did, just mum won't be there. But the foal will be weaned, so it's not going to be searching for mum so much. So, and by that time, when it's just you in there with them, they'll say, oh, your company, you know. And that's the aim. So, yeah, so, and... it's really good how you do it in a group of five or six. So this year we had three foals. They all run together. The mares run with them. So I pulled the three mares, the three foals in. And what I did in this weaning, and I'll talk about the psychological benefit of good weaning versus bad weaning. But so what I did this time is I just had the three. So the three foals are already mates. They were three little cull foals and are all good mates. And they sort of been growing up together. There's already a bit of confidence and company within themselves, okay? Now, what I was looking for in the herd in the weaning processes. What I'm looking for when I go out, I sort of see the foals getting further away. I see them bonding with other horses. Sometimes I see foals like a particular horse, and you see them, they tend to hang around, they make little friendships and stuff like that. I'm looking for how long and how far they are away from mum, and if mum walks off, if the foal goes, oh, I'll go back to mum, and you know, if the and what I see is the foals getting further apart and getting their own little sort of friends and things like that. And then I sort of start to think, well, they're nearly ready to sort of think about weaning. Now, we used to wean nearly at 12 months old, this year a bit younger because of the drought. But at the same time, because of the drought, I think the mares were a little bit more keen to wean too, because though we've been starting to substitute the feed, it's just not like having a lot of feed on the ground. So I got the feeling this year, by the looks of the way the mares were with the foals, they were pretty happy to sort of start getting those foals to wean earlier. So this year seemed like a good year to do it early, because we sort of had to, because the mares needed not to have the foals on them anymore, because the extra the extra protein they're going to need to support a foal is quite a lot, and I want them to sort of be weaned so when the spring grass does come up, they can, you know, put their condition back on. So definitely in a group. Now, what I did is I started bringing another mob of horses in that as the mob that is not with the foals, because the foals are with the stallion and the mares. And it's actually funny, some people, it's probably something I'll quickly say, is some people don't like running their stallions with their foals, or worried about getting hurt, things like that. I watch our stallion playing with our foals, you know, having good fun with them, and you know, they really like him, and they go and hang out with him, and they're friends with him, and you know, he's really gentle with them. But you're not going to leave him until they're 2-year-old colts that he's got to push away. So they're only young, and they're not full of testosterone or anything, so they're no threat to him. And while they're no threat, our stallion in particular, well, you know, I'm not going to say for all stallions, but to me, a happy stallion is a herd stallion that's happy with his mares. So, you know, those foals grow up in the herd, and they're tough mares. You know, their mother, when they become a mare, I think they strengthen, and our mares are particularly strong. So if the stallion wanted to, you know, hurt the mare, or hurt the foal, or do anything, that you know, that, and that stallion won't go near him. And the funny thing is, you know, the stallion in a herd environment, and like, and this is our stallion, I would say, I'll just talk about what I see, is he's in charge of making sure the herd's there and all his mares are together. So that's when he's got the right to push the mare. But in a lot of other instances, she's got the right to say, go away, stallion. But if there was another stallion running across the paddock, or suddenly he thought that mare wanted to get out of a herd, or a new mare or something like that, then he's got every right, and she will listen to him to say, get back to that herd now. And he'll go out and he'll round them up, and he'll get pretty heavy on them sometimes. But that's when he's got the right to be firm. But most other times, the mare's got, she's going to be firm on him, especially when it comes to protecting foals and saying, I'm not ready to say breed with yet, or, you know, things like that. So, yeah, that's just, you know, getting on the subject of just running the stallion with the horses. But I love to see them with the stallion, because he's a real gentle fellow, and, you know, though he's a lazy horse, he doesn't mind having to play with them every now and again, and mucking around with them. So that's the thing. So the herd of the, when I've got those little foals on their own, I'm actually running a new herd in, which is the herd that the staying can't go near, which is the older fillies and, you know, the geldings and stuff that Dom's supposed to get around and start and get worked and all that sort of thing. But so they come in and they sort of hang on the other side of the yards, and through the fence those foals will start to integrate with that herd. And then basically what happens once the weaning's sort of done, then those foals will rotate into that other herd. But by that time they're sort of pretty comfortable with them. And so when the mares are completely gone, the foals have still got each other, which they know, and the new herd which they've been introduced to. So they just go straight into a herd and they don't have separation problems because of that. But I'll go into that detail a little bit more when I finish the question. Yeah, listen, stick all over till the horse can touch. So what did you say, John, about rope around the neck first? Like our foals are pretty big. I'm not talking about handling newborn foals. I'm talking about foals that are 6 months old that are at the weaning time, you know, that are 6 months and older. So they're pretty big little horses. You know, you can go out in the paddock and handle them. I don't. I just wait till they come in. And if you want to get your mares in a lot more with the foals, you're going to have a quieter foal. So, you know, if your mares were coming in the yards all the time and you're feeding the foals around people, then they'd be really quiet and it'd be a lot easier when you get to handling them, because they'll be so accustomed to sort of the good feeling, a good side of people that, you know, they feed me, they're not too bad, and then you can slowly integrate the training into it. So I would advise people, if you can, then get your mares in a bit more with your foals, so that they've been in the yards and been around people, and that's going to make a lot quieter, a lot easier. But in regards to putting a rope around their neck, yeah, I do. So by the time I've sort of touched them all over with a stick, I can pretty well just get a rope and just gently put it around their neck, whether it be so I just use a long piece of marine grade rope, but a thinner one than the normal lead ropes, and I'll just put it around their neck, and I'll just gently let it lay over their neck, and I'll just pick it up. I'll just do a bow line to make a, so I'll do a it'll be like a slip knot, so a slip just like a lasso, but the bow line will go around and just do up a bow line, and then I've got a rope on them. The rope's long enough that if they jump, the fence will catch them. So you know, you don't have to pull on them at all, and I'll still have a mare with them. See, so the mare's got to be a bit used to having a rope around, stretched out, and you've got to be a bit careful that you lift your rope up or something if the foal goes somewhere. So, but you're monitoring your foal, so you're not going to put a rope on them with a mare in the yard if they're jumping around like anything. You know, that's the whole reason for just rubbing them with a stick, getting them quiet. So when you put the rope on them, it's just another bit of feel on them, and because you're not pulling on them, they'll just feel it and go, okay, and then you've already gotten to a stage that you can, you know, they can stand with you, the mum behind you, and then all you have to do is just start to pick up a bit of feel till they look. And there's an older video that I put on quite a while ago, and that was all about getting a horse to look through a rope. That was an older horse, not a foal, but pretty well much the same process. You're just picking up feel till the horse looks, and then eventually, when you can get their, you know, their thoughts stay there long enough, and you can start to draw them to follow, and they'll start to follow because that's where they've been focused on you, and so basically you're saying feel means think, and then when they're thinking there long enough, they'll move there, and that'd be your idea. So yeah, I'll get them leading around with a rope, but as I say, because I've been touched with a stick. And I'll flick them, because I'll have a longer sort of lighter rope tied to the lunge whip or the long stick or something like that. And so I've handled them over with a stick, rubbed them over, and now it's got to a stage that I can flick them over. So I've flicked the rope over their back and things like that. And it's only quite light, but it's got them used to that rope hanging over them and things like that. And then there, you get them just to come around with the lead. And the good thing about having mum in there is once you get them to think a little bit towards you, you can sort of set mum up and you get the foal to look. And then as they look, you look towards sort of you and mum, and then you just walk mum. And the foal will look and then walk towards, because the lead rope's going sort of towards mum, and you just set it up so they're following each other. And you just say, pick up feel, draw mum, and the mum will walk off, and then the foal will follow mum, and then you start to teach the foal to follow the feel. But the part of the idea to help the foal sort of get confidence to go forward is not you walking off, but the mum can help them walk off until you've done that transition 100 times. Till soon, you know, you might have a bit of distance between mum and the foal, so the foal's got somewhere to walk, and then you might ask the foal to lead but keep the mum still, and then the foal's, you know, put two and two together that, okay, every time that rope picks up, I've walked forward. Every time that rope picks up, I walk forward. So then you start to put energy to the thoughts. So, yeah, definitely mum is a real draw card on getting that foal to want to learn to lead without a lot of friction. And then by the time you've weaned, then, yeah, they've already got a fairly clear understanding on the rope and things like that. And then you can go and do the rest of the handling if you like. Because sometimes it can get a little bit annoying having another horse in there and you'd like just that room for you and the foal. But you've already started, then you can do the rest of the important stuff that you want to do once the foal's weaned. And, how much, it's like, well, you don't have to do a lot. Just a bit each day, half an hour if you want, 10 minutes, doesn't matter. But I believe you want to do enough till they're leading well. You can teach a young horse to lead well and just quiet around their feet, things like that, quiet around their muzzle. And the interesting thing about the video that I'm going to put on is there's a few of our horses that, particularly this little foal, he's seemingly quiet, but he's sort of half and half. But he's really, really sensitive around the muzzle. So I've sort of gone about face with him, and instead of putting a holder on him, I'm going to pretty well have him all handled before I put a holder on him. I've got the rope on him, so I've taught him, I'm teaching him to lead through a rope, but that's going to be on the video, and I'm just going to sort of work my way to the holder when he's a lot more connected and things like that. So Ada Berry, I've got your question here. How early can I rub all over them and touch their legs? And is it true to never stand between a new foal and its mother? So, Ada, I've been just sort of through the talk, what I've been talking about is teaching the mare to step behind so you can sort of be in between the mare and the foal. So don't just go out in a paddock and just blindly walk between a mare and its foal that's new, because you could end up, you just watch your horse. Like I'm a big one, as if you're walking up to a foal in the paddock or something like that, it's a young little tiny foal, it's not being long on the ground, and if you're walking around the paddock checking it out, you just look at the mother and tell her what sign language or body language she's giving you, and she'll tell you what you need to know. So I encourage the mare to walk behind me, but if I thought that mare was really getting troubled by it, then I wouldn't do it. I'd do it differently. But the idea by teaching the mare to walk around with the foal in the yard and something like that, then I'm asking her to come around behind me. I'm not just sort of stepping in between them. Sometimes I will, but by that time I know if the mare's comfortable with it or not. But basically, if you handle the mare and just walk around with the foal and just integrate for a while, she'll get comfortable wherever you are with the foal and in relation to where she is. But don't just walk between a mare and a foal without watching the mare. And if she tells you that I'm protective, don't do it, then don't do it. You might have a way of working around until you can sort of handle a mare and have a foal here and walk around the mare, things like that, and walk around the foal. So yeah, and like what you say here, is it true, never stand? There's so many people that say things out there like, is it true, never stand between a mare and its foal? And it's like, that's the gospel. If you walk under a ladder, you get bad luck. If you there's so many things that are like this saying. And I think if you get stuck believing a saying that's been around for centuries, you won't do your own homework. And what I found is by doing my homework and trying to sort of think about sayings and then go, is it true or not? Because one thing I like doing is trying to work out what's the truth and what's just, a circumstance that became a saying. So I believe we just open, if there's a saying that's referring to horses that you never should do something, then I go and test if you should or you shouldn't do. And that's when you can find out, I think, between the lines, and you'll find that there's a lot of sayings out. Never stand behind a horse. That's another one. Well, here's another way of looking at it. Never stand behind a horse is going to kick you. How many horses are going to kick you? Not many. And they'll tell you if they're going to kick you. So I'd never walk behind a horse that's asleep, purely because it might wake up and go, "What's that?" But it's not kicking you because it goes, "Oh, there's a person behind me, I'm going to kick it." It's probably kicked out because it woke up and got startled and went, "Something's there." That's why it would kick. So maybe in that circumstance, you wouldn't walk behind a horse. But like, you watch me handle foals, and if they let me sort of touch their rump first, I'll touch their rump first. So they won't let me touch their nose, but they're comfortable at the rump, I'll touch to start at the rump. If they were more comfortable to start at the hind foot, then I'll start at the hind foot. Whatever. So the other thing is, can you rub them all over? How early? Listen, rubbing them all over and touching them, some people start it when they're born. Like, some people go out in the paddock and they'll cuddle their foals and get their smell on them and things like that. And they say there's a lot of good in that. I'm not going to say yes or no when it comes to that because we don't really do it. It's nice to just go and connect to a little baby foal when it's young. But I tend to leave them alone with their mothers. And if I have got an opportunity when I'm going through a paddock and the foal looks pretty nice and the mother's calm, and I'll sort of go near the foal. But I don't make a big deal of going over and, cuddling them and doing all this stuff with them. I just wait till they're sort of in for handling. But, I'm not saying it's bad or good. You could probably get some good results out of it. I must admit, I disagree with the Ebony was kind today. She got all her look. There's like, that must be me. I don't think I look that grumpy though. This one's a grumpy one, see? And that must be my rope. She brought all the toys in and she showed me what she'd done. So I've got all these things to use. Some people will come and they'll pick up a foal. So say that my fingers are arms, and I'll pick up a foal and I'll cuddle it, and the foal will sort of struggle a little bit. And then they'll struggle and push, and then they'll sort of relax. And because the foal's so small, the person can be stronger than the foal. So they'll just cuddle around the foal, the foal will struggle, and then I'll go quiet like that. And they do that. Me personally, I wouldn't do that. It's sort of, to me, like, it's teaching a learned helplessness in a foal when they're young, and it's sort of good, I guess, if a foal gets caught in a fence or something like that. But people doing it for education to teach the horse, I think in their mind, when I've heard it explained to me, is they're doing it to teach a horse to give to pressure or yield to pressure. But to me, it's just teaching the horse to sort of just stop the pressure and just go, "I can't fight, I'll just go into a helpless state." So I wouldn't encourage that as an educational thing. I'd just touch them a bit and just get them used to that, leave it, and later on, pressure something they've got to think to and engage with, and handling is something that you're just quieting them with things. It's not about making them submit. So I disagree with the picking up of the foals and cuddling them. That's just my personal opinion. You can handle them pretty young. As long as you don't overdo it, as in you handling them all over till they want to walk away. I would just go touch and go, touch and go, touch and go until they're really calm, and then you'll read your foals enough that they're ready to be handled over a lot longer. But I don't do a lot of leg, I don't do a lot of leg handling until they can lead, because I get my horses, I educate them. I'll talk about that. I'd like to educate a horse before I overhandle it or handle it. So if I try and handle it before it's educated, what'll happen is when I'm trying to handle the feed or something, I want to move away. And then when I sort of try and help it by putting a bit of pressure on it to come back around or settle down, it'll go, "Oh, crikey, there's a rope." And then it'll double worry, and then it pulls away and gets frightened. So I would recommend getting your whole foals leading really well, coming around to pressure nice, all these things. You need to teach them to back up and then go and do all the legs, especially if the legs for that particular foal is a sensitive area. So more education before more handling, not more handling and then education, because that's where it all goes wrong. So anyway, just about the weaning now. you've sort of heard just throughout what I've been talking about is I wean with horses, the horses are in a group, things like that. Now, how do I wean the mothers off the foals and the foals off their mothers? So I talked about when I think the foals are ready, when I see them more confident, more self-reliant, things like that. That's when you start to think about they're ready and they're gonna cope with it better. Also, the mothers are going to cope with it better because it looks like the mothers aren't so interested in the foals. They're not producing as much milk there. So then, as I was saying, I've got the foals yarded coming in. There's another mob of horses that have come in that they've sort of been on the fence with, that they're starting to integrate with and things like that. So in our case, and in some cases, you're going to have more than one foal. So I'll talk about it first with more than one foal. So the foals are together, the mother's together. So then what I do is I might have the other mob of horses in a yard here, and I've got a yard that's in between the two. So, and then there's a paddock where a yard feeds down. So what I can do is I let the mares out on this side, the foals in the middle, and the other herd on the other side. And then what happens is the mares can go out as far as they like, they can go eat hay, they can go out in the paddock, but they can come back. So if the mare is a stressed mare, it's going to panic a bit, because there's one of our mares that was a bit more fond of a foal than the other two. The other two just walked off and went, bye-bye, see ya. I'm going to go out in the paddock. And it was funny because it was almost like, you know, they weren't that interested in their foals, and they were a bit, but they were pretty happy just to go out, and now it's time for the foals to sort of move on and you know, go and do their own thing. But there's another mare that she's quite close to a foal, so she was sort of coming back and standing in the yards more, but she could come down and stand near the foal, near the fence. So I can open it up so they can all stand right on the fence. And this fence between the two is safe. It's not a wire fence or anything like that. It's a fairly high fence just with rubber rails on it. But, you know, if they really go berserk, they're not going to hurt themselves. But if the mum can go right there and they've already got the other foals as company, because all the foals are together and they've got the other horse on the other side, there's plenty of company around. They're not segregated and separated. The mares can come up and come out and come up. And the mares after a few days will go out, and I'll feed the mares up the paddock a bit, and then they might wander back. But mostly they just end up going back out in the paddock, and the foals settle down together. And then once they're looking pretty calm and the foals are calm together, which they generally are if there's plenty of company around them, then I'll start to integrate them with the other horses. So in the handling video that I've done, I've started the handling with the mare, and then through the process of handling, then the mare's disappeared and she's weaned, and I'm doing the rest of the handling while the foal's weaned. So yeah, so then the foals aren't completely separated. So I think separation anxiety is something I see a lot of horses get very, very anxious and stressed when other horses go away, and they really panic more than others, and they fret more than others. And you know, I would say that bad weaning, what I mean by bad weaning is you take the foal off mum, separate it on its own, and just let it panic until it sort of either quits panicking or it just sort of, you know, whatever happens. But to me, that's the worst way to wean, because I believe that process will leave permanent mental scars on your horse that would probably cause it to suffer from separation anxiety and anxiety problems when it's on its own, things like that, or when it sees other horses go away from it and stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely try and wean foals so they don't ever fret too much, get too stressed, and they've got company around them and things like that. So if I had a foal that was on its own and a mum on its own, now you've sort of got to treat that as the same sort of process of just getting that mum to come back to the foal, and vice versa. Okay, like just let the mum be there and just let them separate and things like that. But I strongly advise anyone that's got a mare and foal on its own, have another horse or something, so another horse that can keep that foal company. It's really, I think it's really important and much better for the whole process. But yeah, don't try and just do complete separation if you don't have any other option. just allow that mare, you know, to just come back with the foal. But what'll start to happen if the foal's really relying on milk and things like that, have the yard so the foal just can't drink, and it just stops, you know, it starts to rely more on the food, not the milk, and let it just come, let the mare go out and come back and go out and come back and feed the foal and get the foal sort of, you know, used to things. And but a mare and foal combination, I'd definitely make sure that you've been in the yard with that foal and just about got it pretty well handled before you wean it, because then at least when you walk in the yard with the foal, it can come up to you when it's a bit stressed or something like that, because it's got some sort of company. But yeah, horses need company. So I think if you're going to breed, have at least a bit of company for the horses, especially for when they get weaned. Yeah, so handling foals. So just talking about the handling process, education before you handle them. Because handling doesn't necessarily, you know, people rub horses and rub them thinking that's going to quieten them or something like that, and then you desensitize things, going to make them quiet. What's going to make them quiet is trusting you and just understanding that you're safe and you're okay. So, you know, you heard me just talk about going in, working with the mare and the foal, so you can rub with a stick, go all over them like that. So that part of the handling is okay because you're at a distance. And I've found most horses, they're not that scared of a stick. They're scared of a person, but a stick's just a dead object. So it doesn't take very long at all to just touch them with a stick and get them used to things touching them and things like that. So then once you've got that rope on them, so you know, you just slip a little knot round, so it's a slip knot, so you know it works, as in if it tightens up it'll loosen up again, and you know, you get your mare to walk around and you can help the leading process with the mare, so the foal follows the mare and follows feel towards the mare, things like that. But what I really try and do is when I'm in with a mare and a foal, I might just do something, whether it doesn't really matter what you do, but you watch the foal and you just watch it. And when the foal casts its thoughts over to you, this is before you've got a rope or anything on it, you just step away and just give it a bit of space. So every time it sort of casts its thoughts and looks across to you, you acknowledge that and walk away and just allow it to look at you and go, oh, calm down. Okay. So sometimes for some foals, you could just do something that makes them look and then step away if they're a little bit dull and they don't want to, you know, look. But it doesn't matter. You don't have to get them, you don't have to make too much pressure so they're like on you like this and following you around everywhere. Because what I like to do is I don't like my foals completely following me around before I put a rope on them, because though it sort of makes sense that you could probably get them following around, they're going to learn the rope easier. I know people will say that to me, well, that if they're already following you, when you pick up feel, they put two and two together because they already know how to follow you. I find it very important when I put a rope on a foal to get them to learn in the rope, because being lost in the rope and finding their way to the rope pressure, to me, is a very important part of the learning process of not to pull back. Because and people who have been to my clinics out there, I see a few names out there, Kylie, g'day Kylie, they know how important I believe leading is and getting a horse to search and feel, and anyone that's been to my clinics have probably realized how many horses out there, when you put a little bit of lead rope pressure on them, they don't search properly and they pull back and they get frightened and things like that. But when their owner trots off with the lead rope, I had actually Gold Coast Clinic, I've just been on the Gold Coast, I've just come back today. Lovely and warm up there too, by the way, over in Victoria. It was toasty, I sort of got a bit of a sweat up there. There's a horse and a couple of them that you could just trot off nicely like that and they trot off with you and it was, you know, all very nice. But if you just walked and went trot and just drew the rope through without you going any faster, they just go, what are you doing? Okay. And that's my point, is if you start getting the foal to lead and follow you, then maybe leading to them is just following you. And it has to be learning through the lead, because when you leave a horse with a lead rope, you're not there. And they have had to have quite a lot of goes at searching in that lead rope. You know, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? So I'm sorry about the chain, everybody. I don't actually use chain lead ropes. That would be a bit cruel, wouldn't it? But anyway, so there's connective pressure. Now, some people may have heard me talk about connective pressure at clinics. So basically, if you pick up a lead rope, I'm just trying to work out this one's a better one. If you pick up a lead rope, okay, that's tight, right? That's not tight, that's very droopy, okay? That's not connective pressure. So when, say I've got the rope around the foal's neck, okay? Now I'll pick up the rope, and just about there, the foal will start to go, ooh, I feel something, I don't know what that is. And if you pull it hard, they'll brace and pull and fight against it. But if you just pull enough pressure that it just starts to put connective pressure there, they'll go, ooh. And they might just lean a little bit against it. They might go, what do I do? And they might lean. But what'll happen is as they lean, they'll just increase it a little bit. Now, be careful they don't just increase it and away they go. Just watch them. Now, if you're watching them carefully, what they tend to do is they just go, oh yeah, there's a bit of pressure there, and they might look, and they might just look back over you because they go, is that coming from over there, or what are you doing? And you go, and then you'll just help the extra bit and go, that's it. And they'll go, oh. And then next time you'll pick it up and they'll look at you and you'll go, that's it. And they'll realize that picking up feel means look and think, and that's creating the natural bend that you want. The natural bend that means I'm going to bend and look and think and turn. So if the foal, you know, not everything works perfect when you're handling young horses, the foal could, well, if you've done a little bit of homework, it won't go ballistic, but say, for instance, it has a panic and it goes, you pick up a bit of feel and it goes, holy salula, I'm out of here. Then your rope's long enough to go, and you don't pull it. If the foal is thinking and searching, if it's searching, let it search into a little bit of pressure. If it's searching makes it want to just go, I'm going to go, and you know it's made the decision to go, don't think that it's going to search back to you when you pull on it. It's not. It's going to fight. Every bit of it is going to fight that pressure to get away. So if you see it stop searching and go, nah, I'm gone, don't pull it. Just let it go. Don't let the rope go physically, as in lose the rope and let it run around like that. Because your rope's long enough that you can allow the yard to catch the foal. Don't catch it with the rope. Okay, so the yard will catch the foal. The foal will go, oh, what happened there? And then while it's standing there, you just go back to square one. Pick up feel, do the same thing. Now, you might say, oh, yeah, but picking up feel, it panicked and ran away. It got away with something. It's not like that. It'll figure it out. It'll just go, I'll try again. And then at least then the second time it won't panic so much because you didn't trap it. If you trap it the second time, it will panic. So yeah, when they're picking up feel, you know, really treat it like that. In the nose department, you know, you really want to get a foal to sniff out. So you don't just go up and go, oh, you're a good foal, rub it all over. You're going to come up to that foal and you're just going to just get under here, and you're just going to come up here, and you can see the little Lego man here. You just, if the foal's finally there like that, you might, and you can stand here, and if it sniffs out like that, you just draw off a bit to let it stretch, okay? It'll stretch towards you. So you're just putting your hand out a little bit. So if the foal's curious and stuff like that, you start to put your hand out a little bit. They'll sniff out, and that's what you really want to encourage. If they just go like this, which the one on the video that I'm doing is one that just stands and goes, oh, I don't want you to sniff me, then I'll just sort of stand there and I'll just move a little bit from side to side. And if it looks, I'll just draw back to get a look. And I kept my hand away from it quite a lot and really worked on its bubble. So I put my hand up towards its bubble. And as soon as that foal would go, I just stop and then I just draw back. And sometimes what happened with the foal, instead of it going, oh, away from it, it actually go, oh, what's that I'm following out there? And it start, and then a couple of times it started to sniff out on my hand, but I didn't try and trap it and rub that nose down because it's super sensitive nose. So I really wanted to sniff out and sniff out, because a lot of foals, like this particular one, would just stand there while you handle it. And it probably would do that its whole life. Maybe you got to run, you know, it's got to really connect and sniff and accept, because that's the acceptance that's going to actually make it really like being around you, following you, things like that. If it just accepts being handled and doesn't actually acknowledge you and connect to you and, you know, communicate with you, then I think that problem will stay with it all its life. So right at the start, if they're real timid little foals that don't want to sniff out and things like that, don't go overboard and handle them, because they're just standing there and just desensitizing them to things. Really encourage them before you do too much handling to sort of at least try and sniff out and try and get better at that and braver at that. And then, because that'll be the one that makes them not panic when things go wrong, because they'll actually have finally accepted and then they'll probably let it down and let down, you know, when you're around the head and doing things like that. So if you're really good at putting a holder on efficiently, you can slip one on quickly. But if you're not, get them comfortable leading with a rope. Maybe spend more time just getting with leading with a rope around their neck, things like that. So once they can follow that feel, you just walk off at an angle. So, you know, I sort of would walk around and I just have my horse, you know, here, and say I pull the rope like that, this direction. Okay, so I pull the rope and the horse is not going to do anything, and I just gently walk off to the side and the horse looks through the rope, and then when you get off the side, it'll just follow a bit. But as I said before, if I had Mum in there and I was doing it with Mum, then I probably already got it to look and follow the rope quite a few times before it was on its own. But sometimes I'll get a little bit stuck in their feet, and you just walk off to the side so the rope's pulling on the side a little bit, and I'll look around, and then I'll just maybe step across a little bit. When they step across, just walk away with the loose rope, and they'll just maybe keep those feet going and they might just keep following. So once they're really turning around, coming around nice, leading up nice, you've already touched them over with a stick when Mum was in there, things like that, then you can start to sort of think about, you know, rubbing them over and down their legs and things like that. Now, don't stay and handle too long. So doesn't matter what part of the body of the horse that you're going to, touch and go. Just touch a bit, leave it, touch another bit, leave it. If you rub your hand across it, just move and be out of there before the foal's sort of got tight and wanted to panic and run away. Because what will happen, every touch and go, you might touch and go, and might have your hand on the horse for like a half a second. But I'll guarantee if you did that five times, you could have your hand on there for 5 seconds, and then you could, you know, the horse will just stand and be handled. But if you try and handle it and keep your hands on it, it'll try and get away at some stage. So touch and go until you can handle it, and then you've got less times that it pulls away. Because but another thing I actually do at a distance, so before I've, you know, and I'll show you this in the video, is like what I did with this young horse of ours. I just got the little flag in and I just had the flag. First I walked around with it to see if the horse was okay with it. If it was completely panicked with the flag, it'd be too much stimulant. But what I did was I'd already taught it to come around with the lead and stuff. So I just gently jiggled the flag, and when the little foal went, "What's that?" I said, "Come to pressure and come to me." And then I'd keep doing that and then do that. So the foal would actually go, "Oh," and then it would feel the pressure, then it would come back to me. So I actually taught it what to do when it's worried, but I wasn't right underneath it. So it really got worried and then wanted to run away because it was a bit too much. I just made enough worry just to get that little foal to sort of go, "Ooh, what's that?" And then, so, because you're teaching it exactly what's going to happen when the horse goes, "What's that?" "Oh, there's feel," and then you guide the feel. So then I did that. So after a while, the horse would get worried and it'd just go towards the worry anyway, because it's like, "Oh, you know, doesn't hurt me, and that's what I do. I lead off the lead when I get a bit worried. So then when you're underneath it and it does get a bit worried, then it's already gone to the end of the lead when it's worried and come back. So chances are it may not do it. So yeah, touch and go, all the way down the little horses. And you know, down their back legs, you might go to an area. So you might end up halfway to their hock or something like that. Stop, go back to their shoulder, go down, you know, halfway to their knee. And basically before you even think about getting to their feet, you've gone down their leg. If you're at the back of the horse, say for instance at the hip, and you're going down halfway to the hock and it starts to wriggle, you're not going to pick up the foot. So you basically go to a spot and did it go away, and then you just increase the, so you eventually get down the leg. So you sort of you know, you might just handle the horse, you know, just down to here, and then go somewhere else, and then you might go down a bit further, go away, go down further. So what I'll do is by that time I'll go around, I'll go down a foot to the foot, down a leg to the foot, back up, go down the next leg to the foot, leave it, go around the other side. And then what I'm looking for is if I can just gently rub down for a very short time without staying there too long and the horse stands still, then I'll increase the time as I rub down. So I'll slow my rub down, stay down there a bit longer. And then once I've done that around every foot and the horse hasn't moved, then I might go to going down and just gently holding my hand on the foot, just keeping my hand somewhere on the leg, just like that. Not grabbing it, just like that. And just keep my hand there, Just increase the time that my hand stays there. When the foal's real comfortable with that, then you can start, you know, maybe thinking about teaching it to move off of pressure, as in, you know, cupping a hand around its foot and just getting it to sort of cock its foot. And then work on starting to pick them up. But when you pick them up, you have to grab the base of the foot. Don't just try and pick them up and grab around their leg, because it'll feel like they've got a, you know, something trapped around their leg and they'll want to pull away and they'll feel trapped. So you just get them to take the weight off their foot, and then you get them good at that, and then you can just gently pick their foot up from underneath. So, but yeah, you're not handling them to sort of desensitize them, you're just to quiet them. You still want them sensitive, you want them interactive, you want them sniffing, you want them just be normal horses, you're just quieting them. So it's not about flooding them until they stand still and just keeping them in the area until they stand and then stop. If you do that too much with your foals, then you're going to fast track them to being shut down, because you basically they test all their options, and then the last option is, well, I'll just stand. And that's not a good way to teach your foals. You're better off touch and go, build confidence. If there's anything scary, like a flag or anything like that that you might use, or a stick, you teach them to lead a bit, and then they can teach them to follow something. Follow the flag till you're not scared of it. Until you connect to it and sniff out to it, and you know, do your own research with, you know, if the foal does its own research. Yeah. So thanks everyone for coming on board. Is there any quick questions while we're here about the foals, or anything that I've sort of talked about that you haven't understood, or if there's any quick guru typers out there, they can get a quick one in about the foal handling, or anything that I may have missed that you think's important. I'll just wait a bit. No, everyone's pretty good. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming online. And yeah, if I did miss anything, just let me know. But yeah, it's a good stage in a horse's life to get them to trust people, and it sets them up for the rest of their life. So very important to do a thorough job of it. And yeah, good luck with everyone out there. And yeah, I'll see you next time. Bye.